you can have a beautiful sexual experience that doesn't involve intercourse, that can actually still have the explosive moments of intimacy with a partner, then you've basically changed the game in the way of intimacy.
Welcome back, Intimates. Thanks for your support on Patreon, making this 2021 season possible. This podcast is about all things intimate: relationships, love, connection, community, consensual non-monogamy, kink, orgies, lovers, and of course, good old-fashioned sex. I talk with old friends and even meet some new ones. I interview people from all walks of life, from recovered addicts to counselors, sex partners to perfect strangers. I'd like to thank my hosts, the Musqueam First Nation, as this podcast is recorded on their unceded ancestral territory, where I was born, where I work, and where I currently live and play. So settle in for an intimate conversation. Today we're talking with Andre Lazarus, an intimacy and sex coach with over 10 years of experience in non-monogamy. His new project is the Open to More How to Navigate Consensual Non-Monogamy course at coming-closer.com. You can find him at Coming Closer with Andre on social media. And now, let's chat about intimate things we can do with our partners that don't involve penetration. For those of you who love penetration, please note that these exercises might actually improve intimacy and through that improve the quality of the penetrative sex you have later on. Your mileage may vary, but either way, good luck. Welcome, everyone, to another session of Intimate Interactions. We have the joy of having Andre Lazarus with us here, an intimacy and sex coach, a surrogate partner, and a sacred intimate with over 10 years of experience in non-monogamy. His new course is the Open to More, How to Navigate Consensual Non-Monogamy course, and you can find it at coming-closer.com. Welcome, Andre.
Thank you so much, Victor.
I'm excited to jump into talking about the art of touch and intimacy without penetration. And before we started, I just wanted to share a really funny anecdote that in Vancouver, Canada, we have this legislation around what is legal and what is not in terms of sex positive events, right? And like sex on premises is really, really hard to figure out because sex on premises is, you know, pretty much illegal here unless you have these really rare exemptions that only originated at gay bathhouses. So if you're in a structure that used to be a gay bathhouse, you can get licensing for sex on premises. But like, there's a fixed number of these that exist in the city. And like, it doesn't have to be gay sex. It could be any kind of sex. But
interesting.
Like, but it goes with the venue. So like, you can't transfer those licenses if they sell the venue. It's really, really interesting, weird legislation. But what makes it even funnier is because all this legislation was written in a time period when sex was thought of as a man putting a penis into someone, other forms of sex don't count as sex legally for the purposes of insurance and licensing. So what that means is if you fist someone, totally fine. Don't need a sex on premises license for it. If someone puts on a strap on and face fucks you, totally fine. Don't need a license for it. It's nuts. Like, there's some really hilarious loopholes.
That's very like, interesting.
You basically just can't do mouth to genitals or anus, or genitals or anus to person, basically.
Okay.
But if it's a toy, and I'm pretty sure fisting is permissible. I'm pretty sure fisting does not count as sex on premises. Because I remember we looked this up once for one of the Metro Vancouver kink dungeon parties, and it was like, oh, okay, so we aren't a sex on premises event. Can't have sex on premises, but the following things that are technically not sex.
I feel like that should be on like a stone tablet that you can like put in front of a building that is legally allowed to like have sex on premises, because what are they gonna do? Like, that's phenomenal. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, a little bit disappointing that there's even any law that's restricting any form of like interaction, like in an intimate space, but if that's the ones that you're like removing, there's so much more, and it's to our topic, there's so much more that you can experience with an intimate connection that doesn't have to involve penetration, or penetration with a organ on a person to another person, because it sounds like there's that loophole where you can have a strap on, which is a very interesting loophole.
it's opposed to God's loophole, it'd be Canada's loophole. You can wear a strap on. And I do want to name that obviously the fact that we're enjoying all these wonderful forms of intimacy today, free from this legislation, is the flip side of a coin of oppression, where obviously for a long time, none of this was considered sex. And a lot of people who enjoyed these things didn't have access to them. So with that sort of named, I would love to press forward and talk more about how rich the art of touch can be and what non-penetrative intimacy looks like. Tell us more about it, Andre. Let us learn from you.
Well, how much time do we have? I've had such a beautiful experience in my own sexual exploration of learning about myself, my sexuality, kind of the structures that society put on me to say, like, this is where you need to be and like you need to stay in these lines. And when I kind of had my awakening in my like late 20s, I realized that you don't have to stay in the line. So you can draw all over the place. And that includes, I consider myself a multisexual being, that I enjoy the ability to create beautiful, intimate connections with people of all different genders, even, you know, those who don't identify with the gender. And that allows me to feel more connected to my own pleasure when I'm not like silencing these things that are saying don't go that way because that's wrong or that's immoral. And part of that is we're taught in society, and I'll go to our wonderful sex education that we have in our schools, which actually is not great, which is you have a man, you have a woman, and in most of the ways that we're taught this information, you have sex, you have a baby, you get married, or first you get married, then you have sex, and then and then you get the white picket fence, and then you live happily ever after. So there's a lot of this.
Your version might be more true to life.
Very true. But there's this idea that like sexual interaction has these expectations of a penetrative experience, and one person generally has to like orgasm or climax, hopefully both, but that's not always the case. And unless that actually happens, you didn't have sex, or it wasn't a successful, you know, experience,
or complete,
or complete. Like, yeah, thank you. So, but what I've learned just from my time in the work that I've done and my own like self-exploration is that when you can actually sometimes remove the expectation of that orgasm or the expectation of that penetrative experience and focus on the sensation of whether it's skin to skin or some form of like beautiful texture on skin or some form of tulle or rope or flogger that just feels just so yummy and juicy to us, that you can have an experience that will last far longer than what would be a quick, we have 5 minutes, let's do the damn thing. Having that penetrative experience, again, one, maybe two people come and then you're off on your day, or someone falls asleep. So in touch play, when we can have more of that embodied feeling of like the warmth and the tingle that like shoots throughout us, and removing the pressure of having this penetrative experience, we can go beyond any form of what we thought sex actually is, and like it can be transcendent. I'll get off my soapbox now.
If anything, I would say just like examples, like listeners are going to be asking me, they're going to be like, well, do you have any actual tips or tricks, or like specific thing? Like they're going to be asking for examples.
It's a great question. So one example that I love to do with my partner is when we've had the consent conversation before we've, you know, started our experience for that day or that evening. And what we'll do is we'll actually close our eyes, and with both of our eyes closed, we will slowly, and I'm closing my eyes right now because I'm just like going into that space. But we will slowly start exploring each other as if we didn't have the gift of sight, and to just feel skin, feel the clothes on our body, hair on our head if you have hair, and slowly start to kind of go on a journey, kind of a journey of your partner's body being this beautiful, uncharted, undiscovered map, and finding new ways of caress, of sensation, of touch. And you can use just your fingertips, you can scratch, you can squeeze, you can remove articles of clothing very slowly and see what that sensation feels like, even like someone removing your clothing and the feeling of the fabric, whatever that might be, draping across your skin. And in this experience specifically, you can even remove even genital stimulation altogether, like touching everywhere on your body except like your erogenous zones to discover new ways of connecting to your pleasure. You never knew that the back of your knee was so erotic. You never knew that, like, feeling a finger, multiple fingers, like in between your toes was going to like excite you in a way that you never thought, because we're so used to the archetype of this is what you do a little kissing, you throw off the clothes, maybe some, genital stimulation with, fingers, with your mouth, leads to penetration, and that's all she wrote. And I'm being very general in that, but that's generally how we see in porn. Most of the porn, and I'm a proponent of porn. I enjoy watching porn. I like varying the porn that I watch. But a lot of it is these things that last between like 5 to 30 minutes, but they're already naked. They're already like, into some form of penetrative experience in less than 5 minutes. And there are some people, and I generally find through my clients, most of them being female bodied, who really desire more than 5 minutes of this beautiful foreplay type experience where you can like bring them into their body. And I found that when I'm able to, for myself, put myself into a place of desiring the extension of these intimate experiences and removing the orgasm or removing the penetration, there's now no longer that pressure of, okay, I have to get to this point. I have to be really awesome, or I have to, like, if they don't orgasm, then did I even do a good job? And some people might be listening to this and saying like, oh, I don't think that, or, and that's great, but there's a lot of people that do. And there's a reason why I have the work that I have, is because there's a lot of people who might not even be able to function, in spaces of sensuality and sexuality, because they're so afraid of that perceived expectation that they never actually get to that point. So when we can create this idea that you can have a beautiful sexual experience that doesn't involve intercourse, that can actually still have the explosive moments of intimacy with a partner, then you've basically changed the game in the way of intimacy.
Even when it comes to penetration, I feel like people are really, I don't want to say boring, but maybe not as imaginative as would serve them. And even something as simple as fingering, like I can't stress this enough. Don't neglect fingering. For some people, that is the be all and end all. If you're not doing any fingering at all, I mean, regardless of the body that you're working with, like people have holes and fingering can be fun. So I'm just saying, if it is something that your partner is interested in exploring, consider exploring it.
Yes,
That's all I would say.
no, I love that. That was beautifully said, Victor. I think you also said something beautiful, which is like talking about it. We don't do enough of that beforehand, and mostly even during. Like, there's this idea of we've started this experience now, outside of some, like, maybe some dirty talk, we're kind of silent on what's going on in our head and our bodies until we're done, and then when the conversation should also continue to take place, they don't happen. So I am encouraging everyone who's listening to have some really good, deep, transparent conversations before, during, and after. And the idea is by having them before, you get an idea of where you're feeling excited or adventurous, and where your partner is as well. When you're having the conversation during, you're now able to tune into yourself and be like, hey, like this one position isn't feeling that great to me, or I would really desire if you touch me underneath that area that you were touching before, because that's what's really feeling good, and feeling confidence that your partner is going to hold you in that experience. And then the conversation after is kind of doing like an after action about what took place. What did I really like? What did you really like? And then what could we have done differently? How could we like make this a better experience in the future? So communication, communication. And even more communication when you're doing any form of like intimate or erotic play. But having a partner that can support you and make you feel safe in sharing your voice, even when that voice might be, I'm actually not really enjoying this, and I feel like I need more time before we even continue into this sexual experience to just sit and talk. When you can share that openly and honestly, that's such a gift that you can give a partner. So, I'm so glad that you talking about it, because, and again, we have multiple ways that we like to feel penetration when we get to that point. And sometimes it's neglected, or we're rushed into like having to like go to the generic, like, again, and I'll speak with, male body and female body individual, penis to vagina penetration, going as fast as you can until someone, generally the until the male body individual finishes. But like, as you said, like varying speeds, varying like the way that your fingers are moving, being able to bring in toys, please, like bring in toys. Toys are great, even not in penetration. Like when you're able to take a beautiful, like really sensual, like experience of a feather or some form of like light velvet, and just stroking it across the skin. I can't describe it. It's like it's giving me like tingles just thinking about it right now. But there's a lot you can do with touch that doesn't have to bring in the pressure of like getting to that end state of that climax through penetration.
Yeah. So how did you like it, Intimates? Discuss your ideas with the community at facebook.com/intimatevictor or tweet me at intimatevictor or follow my Instagram, you guessed it, at intimatevictor. If you can spare the cost of coffee to help the show keep going, head to patreon.com/victorsalmon. We hugely appreciate your help to continue making intimate conversations for you and yours. If not, you can always help other intimacy nerds find the podcast by leaving us a review anywhere online, especially iTunes. Or you can just tell a friend. The opening music is On Hold For You, made of algorithmically generated notes and chords and played by an AI-rendered saxophonist. The closing music is Gymnopédie No. 1 by Eric Satie. Both are provided royalty-free, courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Thanks so much for your time, and may your most important relationships be filled with the intimate, rich interactions you crave. Be well.